This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 447. I'm XV in place of the unspeakable Brian Kilby.
Because he can't speak because he's sick.
Thank you for killing the joke, Don.
Yeah. Well, I mean, people might think if they say his name three times, they'll summon him and he'll show up in their apartment or something.
Why would anybody risk that?
Yeah, that sounds terrible.
We can be sued for that. So that's basically a disclaimer. I'm doing it as a disclaimer.
I guess that's a good point. Yes, Kilby is under the weather and is unable to speak this week, so I'm filling in as host. With me, we have Matt, a.k.a. Melvar, Diecast, Don, and John.
And Massey.
Hi, guys. Yeah, Massey's over there somewhere, too. There hasn't been an attack yet. Maybe later. It's so hard to predict the mind of a cat. That's why they're cats. So, guys, anything going on with you this week?
I've picked up Overload. I don't have as many con because it launched somewhere across the room and I haven't had a chance to go find it yet.
Well, at least we know the launcher works.
Yeah. I was telling the guys in the pre-show, this is old school shoot your sister from across the room missiles strength. So it works. Trouble is you can't really use it in robot mode because it shoots straight up. So you got the whole Wile E. Coyote and Anvil thing going on there. So
I mean,
that's
I could
really
see Wile E. Coyote inventing something that would just launch an anvil straight up into the air over his head. I'm sure there would be some greater notion to it, but ultimately in practice it would just drop an anvil on his head.
Exactly. Yeah. But I'd like him a lot. Again, you've got a little bit of some hollowness. Just a skosh.
Yeah, that's kind of hollow, isn't it? The whole backside of the arms is hollow. The torso kind of is too, but that's
torso.
The launcher, isn't it?
Yeah, under the torso. But in vehicle mode, the treads do unfold, so that way it covers up a lot of the back hollowness in vehicle mode. So I got him. I also got Chop Shop. I got Shockwave. And my Takara Devastator should be shipping out early next week. So I hope to have him, and I'll be putting Takara Devastator and an American Devastator on a shelf, and I plan on using Takara Devastator Constructicons.
And will you have an epic deathmatch between them as that Star Trek battle music plays?
And then G2 Bruticus just jumps in, and they all like bow before his packaging. We're not worthy.
So well, if you had a package like G2 Bruticus, Don, people would bow before you, too.
Hey! I should make a suit with tie and everything that looks like a G2 packaging.
Don?
Yeah?
I know you're very excited about this burgeoning career as a fashion designer, but maybe don't quit your day job. So okay.
I think we should just make a big cardboard box for Don.
That can be his cosplay at the next BotCon.
Yeah.
G2 box and like his legs stick out the bottom so we can walk around.
Or even better, I could go as a giant multicolored cube and go as a Cybernet space cube.
Okay. I mean, we could make, you know, like BotCon is multiple days. You could have one costume for each day, just different kinds of boxes.
I could turn the box inside out. So it'd be a transforming box.
Like, on the third day, you could be under three. Happy Meal toy. The Beast Wars Happy Meal toy.
Okay. All right. Sorry. What is it?
So Chris asked what's going on, and my first thing that popped into my head was the other thing that makes Hasbro money right now, Star Wars. I'm going to see the opening day tomorrow at 7 o'clock.
Your funeral.
I
admire your bravery.
I want to see if people start complaining about it, and yeah, we definitely should do a podcast about it.
Kilby says in the Skype chat.
Hopefully other people are going to see it. And then I also got my very beautiful, oversized, he's bigger than my head, MP10 which
Digest,
is
I didn't know anything could be bigger than your head.
That's true. But he's really nice. He's better than the original, better paint apps than the original, more paint apps than the original. He has some die-cast feet. I can't remember if the original does or not. Maybe.
Personal space?
And, check out the review, tfradio.net/reviews, or you can go to youtube.com/c/RFC reviews. So check that out. And then I also have a couple of things coming from the Chosen Prime. I have DX9's Tyrant, which amazed me that it was out already because there was such a long delay between like carry production sample and the actual carry that I did not expect Tyrant out before Christmas.
Well, they did go back and change the sticker, the chest on carry, which helped a lot on that figure, I believe. Mm.
And then there's something else coming in the box, too, and I'm trying to... Oh, I'm getting a KFC or X-Trans Bots Andreas, the Nut Scourge. Ah,
that does look good. I'll be honest. I am tempted by that.
And again, all reports I have seen are favorable on that.
Yeah.
Like
They might have actually gotten a winner this time.
And we know Fans Toys, maybe in a couple years, with how long it takes them to bring stuff out, is going to do a Scourge, but I can have two different Scourges. I mean, that works.
Well, that's specifically one of the things you can have multiples of, just if you keep within a strict continuity.
Yeah,
well, not Masterpiece size. I just need one other company to do a Masterpiece Scourge, and it'll be perfect because I'll have three that are slightly different but all the same.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering if X-Transbots, if they drop the Target Master parts count and they take out the electronics ability, would that drop the price enough that you could maybe conceivably get a two-pack of them for maybe around $100 without the electronics?
Oh, no, not a two-pack. Because, like, Andres itself is, what, 150-ish?
150, yeah. I'm just wondering how much electronics and...
Basically nothing. Like,
oh, really?
The electronics components, the LEDs are dirt cheap, okay, relatively speaking. Like, there would be a little bit of reduction because you wouldn't have that stuff that has to be assembled into the toy, but, like... From what I've seen of it, it seems like the electronics are just kind of stuffed in after the fact anyway. It's not
okay.
Even...
Yeah.
It's not, like... No. You could never get a two-pack of those for $100.
I was saying around maybe $2 to $2.25 without the electronics or the Target Masters, if that would drop the cost enough that you could buy... You could get the same looking figure, but as sweeps. Without having to have two different companies, and the aesthetics may be different.
I mean, it's possible, but I don't know if they would go that route. Or
I think the response to Andros itself would have to be really strong for them to think they could justify doing a sweeps run.
To even try it, because how many people are going to...
Like, I think the most likely thing for that would be they would make an arrangement for exclusivity with one of the major online retailers, and they would produce, you know, maybe 2,000 sets total.
Yeah. Now, see, I would troop build, but that's because I have problems. Not everybody out there will troop build.
Well, basically, Scourge is just third season Seeker, if you think about it.
Well, no, he is. It's just like, especially when you get into that price scale, the urge to buy multiples of basically identical figures kind of drops off just because of investment it represents.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I was saying if the electronics and the lack of Target Masters could drop the price enough, but...
And then I possibly may have two special reviews coming up very soon. So definitely subscribe to me on YouTube because they're going to be really nice. They're from the same company, and one is a Dinobot we've been waiting on, and the other one is an Insecticon that we've been waiting on.
Yes, because when you give that much detail, it's certainly not a mystery who you're talking about anymore at all.
Yeah, you know.
Well, now, granted, there's a lot of Dinobots out there. So.
Yes.
But there's not that many Insecticons. There's, what, maybe three companies tops working on that right now?
Right now, I think two.
Yeah,
three. There's at least three.
Well, three if you retroactively count fans Project Insecticons. And
No, but like the Masterpiece scale stuff.
Oh, Masterpiece. Oh, yeah.
So there's Fans Toys. There is Bad Cube.
Ocular Max.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Are they doing those two?
M&C. Yeah.
Okay.
Man, I wish I wish I had to drug my feet on Sphinx.
But the Ocular Max ones aren't even close to coming out yet, are they?
I am not sure. You know how they do it. They could release
they either show you the stuff 3 years in advance or it just drops out of nowhere.
Yeah.
You have food in your bowl.
Like, in a lot of respects, I kind of prefer dropping out of nowhere just because, you know what, get a product gun, put it out to market, and just let it go. On the other hand, though, it's nice to have time to actually, like, get some money together for all this stuff.
Or be like Fans Project. Here's a great test shot of a function X figure. 2 years later, here's your great test shot. And then 2 weeks later, oh, the product's in the stores. What?
So, coming back around, Don, I know you didn't open Chop Shop. Did you get to open Shockwave yet?
No, I'm going to be doing that probably this weekend maybe Christmas Day.
Matt, did you get anything this week?
I did not get anything this week, no.
John, have you had anything come in?
No. It's another couple days before I get all the stuff that everybody else has coming in.
Well, all my stuff already came in.
And look at that grin. Look at that grin on his face. It's just like...
Well, I'm getting Kaon and not Turmoil this weekend. Should be fun.
Oh, yeah, nice. I'm not getting either of those, but...
One of those is the Electric Chair Scorpion, right?
Yeah, that's Kaon Anarchist.
Yeah. Okay.
It can also flatten out into an exam table, apparently.
Ooh, sure.
That's creepy.
Chris is happy because he got Scattershot.
Yeah.
I'm
happy because I got Scattershot, and I got to like just channel this amazing unbridled rage in a review. It was just this wonderful experience. So, okay, let's just go ahead and start with Scattershot. Okay. So the big problem with Scattershot, let me tell a story. I got Scattershot. I opened it and started messing with it. You know, it's not too bad. Like, as this mole family goes, it's a pretty good representative. The one hip is a little bit loose in the socket, but like when you start ratcheting it catches. It's not really like a critical problem. Well, it's, you know, it's not perfect, but it's okay. I transformed it to torso mode and noticed. So up until now, it looked like the combiner head was just black plastic, right? So I noticed, you know, that's actually dark gunmetal, and that's almost never a plastic color. So I decided to take the screw out of the back of the head and open it up and see what color plastic it actually was. Scattershot's combiner head is white. It is white plastic. That had to be painted, no matter what the case. And they chose to paint it dark gunmetal. It could have been any color, but they made it gunmetal.
It could have been red. Computron color?
Yeah.
It's almost like being Rickrolled with paint.
It makes my head hurt just for the fact that, like, I understand why Hasbro does a lot of stuff that they do, and I agree with a lot of stuff they do.
Sure.
And then they scattershot us, and we're like, it's a...
Okay, that's
Silverbolt.
That's a new word for a mispaint application that could have been scattershotted.
Maybe
they silverbolt or scattershot us. Yeah,
no, nice.
it's like being Cartoon Networked.
yeah,
kind of. So like when I made that discovery that the head was completely covered in paint and literally could have been any color it needed to be, that was really a turning point for me. And now I hate this toy. Because then I started seeing everything wrong with it. Like how it doesn't know what it's pulling its deco from. Like it's got blue toy detailing, but it's got the red torso of the cartoon. And like the biceps are the wrong color. In combiner mode, it's all red. I don't even want to transform it into combiner mode here because it'll take too long. But like on the Superhero Time After Show that posted this week, spoilers for that, we talked about Scattershot in the torso mode. Basically figured out there's two major things wrong with it. One is that the secondary color is not the like brownish red Computron color, which it really needs to have around the shoulders to make the visual identity work. The other thing is that the thighs in the torso mode do not show any white. Computron's thighs were white because it did not transform putting its arms down where its legs are. So, like, this side of the arms really needs to be, like, a white or maybe silver panel to get the color balance to work in the torso mode. Like, that combined with having the head be the right damn color would do a lot to actually make the torso mode look okay. If this was just in isolation, this robot mode, the vehicle mode, it could be passable, it could be okay. Because again, it is a good build of this figure skeleton. I'm pretty happy with it physically. But cosmetically, no. It's not there. The head sculpt is actually nice, though. I know it's G1 accurate. I don't really like the visor and face.
The robot the head, not the combiner head.
Yes, the robot head. Well, the Superion head sculpt is nice anyway. Like, we knew that last year. And you get to see it again in almost the same color. The one upside to it, the ear antenna pieces that were such a problem on Superion, that piece is not painted here, so it actually will stand all the way up without fighting you, without having to go in and scrape paint off or anything. It works out of the box just fine. So moving on to better things, I have the whole Unite Warriors Defensor set, but let's talk about Groove, because, you know, that's what we care about. Groove is really weird. Groove feels like, to me, what I would expect a third-party Combiner Wars toy to feel like. Now, that's not necessarily taken negatively, but it feels and looks different from all the other Combiner Wars toys in a way that I can notice just enough to be aware of it. Like, the torso, like, part of it's just how Groove is designed, but, like, the torso is really flat, which, it looks weird. There's not a lot of, like, detail on there. It's a little too featureless compared to the other Combiner Wars toys. The shape of the legs is a little bit strange, too. Like, it's going for a big, blocky boot look, but it reads really wrong, because it's all narrow, too. It stands up pretty well, but it also looks like it's kind of leaning back just because, like, there's this slope to the shins. So, like, the body lines don't work out. One cool thing, though, the front wheel, the fork is on a mushroom peg, so it can actually swivel and turn. And that's not for transformation. That is just motorcycle detailing that they added in because motorcycles work that way. The handlebars don't turn with it, but, I mean, that'd be asking a little bit, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Having clear plastic on it is kind of interesting. The guns are all clear plastic. They're painted over silver for the most part. I'm not super comfortable with gun pegs being clear plastic, but the fit in the hands isn't super tight, so it's not like they're going to crack and break off at any point, I don't think. There's no stress being applied to them. The guns also have... They have these side pegs, which are for mounting in vehicle mode, but they also have these openings right here. And I can't figure out why, but it's set up where they fit together and you can plug the guns together, like, basically back to back. And I cannot figure out any reason why that those peg holes have no other purpose I can find except to let those side pegs connect together. Hmm. And it's the weirdest damn thing. One thing I really did like in Groove's motorcycle mode, there's a port right where the gas cap would be on a motorcycle to plug in the hand-foot gun. So you can have a motorcycle armed with a double chain gun driving around.
So now that you have the figure in hand, do you think that the cost for the figure is comparable to the other Combiner Wars deluxe figures?
Okay, so my thought on that, the whole front end here, this whole piece is one clear plastic chunk. I think if this was to come out for Hasbro's market for one thing, that would be, it'd probably turn into opaque plastic in any case, but I also think it might end up becoming a simplified piece where the fork and the windshield and the headlights and everything are all one unit. Like, where it's not the extra pieces to let the wheel turn. That it feels like an above and beyond extra that would, that it, it feels like an extra compared to what I've learned to expect out of a Combiner Wars design. So I think that would probably be simplified down a little bit. For the most part, it is just the Aerialbot transformation model. The legs open up the same way. And I mean, it's just a matter of there's wheels on there instead of wings. Even the shoulders work basically the same. That's very tight hinge. They don't go up like the Aerialbots do, but the transformation engineering is pretty much identical. So at least as far as that, there's no reason that couldn't work in a Hasbro price point. I just think it, like, just this one part, I think, needs to be simplified to make it fit better.
But it, the set overall, in your opinion, is it worth the price?
Well, I paid
to get your groove.
I paid about $170 for this, and in return for that, I went most of the year without Protectobots. So I'm getting a set of all new toys to me. So there is more value in that. If you've already bought Protectobots and you're just going for the groove, it is a damn steep price to pay. So just, you know, keep that in mind. I like the plastic color on Hotspot a lot better than the Hasbro one. That's a distinct improvement to me. It needs some paint added to it. Like, they obviously went for more cartoon feel to it, where it's more simple, large areas of solid color. But like, there's spots that are molded detail that really need to be picked out in paint, like the Hasbro one had. And all the other ones, like, their deco changes are basically lateral moves to me. They look just fine, the Night Warriors. They look just fine to me in Hasbro. Streetwise edges out a little bit because it is that very, very light gray instead of a white. So that's more cartoon accurate. Makes it more distinct from Prowl, for instance, because one white police car, one light gray. There is enough of a visual difference there to be worth it. You know, if you really want the groove and you kind of held off on the Protectobots or whatever, it could be worth it, but, you know, just weigh all your options and be aware of what you're going in for. I will be reviewing Groove, and that will probably come out early next week at the rate things are going right now. I've got a backlog ahead of me, so I'll have that in the whole set, so I'll have more coherent thoughts at that point. I just opened the set today, so I'd be able to talk about Groove on the show, so I haven't had a lot of time to form full opinions. So the last thing is Onslaught. So answer one, it is the gray chest version, the gray Bruticus chest version coming out first, which I'm very pleased with because that's the one I wanted. Onslaught overall actually turned out really nice. All the joint tolerances are really good. It actually feels a little better than I remember the Hasbro Hotspot feeling.
Does he still have the Hotspot trick knee?
Yeah, the knee is designed exactly the same. That joint on Onslaught is that series of joints is tighter on Onslaught. So when you get all of that oriented correctly and popped in, it pops in more firmly and it stays in more solidly than on Hotspot. So it actually, that works even better here. But it is mistransformed and packaged just the same way. So remember to bend what looks like the double knee joint all the way back so it will lock into the shin and so the leg does not pull down when you bend the knee. Yeah, it's very simple. I wish they would actually get that right in packaging so more people would understand immediately how this works, because it's a really strong knee when it's put together the right way. It just never is unless somebody tells you to. Yeah.
Seems like that'd be one of the things they would use like their Hasbro webpage for, like a video instruction or something.
Yeah. I mean that wouldn't be a bad idea. In torso mode, there's a couple of pegs and tabs that don't really like grab in the way they should, but it's not anything structurally important. So, like, everything that matters on this is really strong and tight. It's a really good example of this mold, and I am super satisfied to get this again as Onslaught at the level of quality this came out at. So pretty good show all around. You know, Scattershot's really the only loser of the week. Actually, no, I'm the loser because I have a Scattershot. So as I take a drink, Don, tell us what's this week in history.
This week in history is, as soon as I get to the page, sorry. This week in history, 1989, Transformers the movie is released on Laserdisc in Japan by Sobi Kikakaru.
Kikaku.
Kikaku. Okay, I totally
Shikaka.
This is why I watch subtitles or subtitles. So for those of you who don't remember Laserdiscs were like really, really big DVDs. But when they came out, it was the best picture quality you had ever seen. But they were huge.
And a 15-inch wide disc you got about an hour and a half of video on. It was amazing times. Also, not in the notes, but also this day in 1985 was the premiere of the G1 episode, Masquerade.
Ooh!
Yeah, I thought Don would be excited by that.
Well, I meant to mention, I am now no longer banned, apparently, by the wiki, so I can actually get there now.
Oh, good.
Apparently, it was a site-wide. It was an IP ban, not a "we don't like you anymore" ban. So that was
well. Who wouldn't like you, Don?
So
you're a staple of the fandom, Don. Who wouldn't like you?
I know people want to staple me, probably, but
no, just the cat.
Yeah, but yeah, Masquerade is one of my favorite. Well, season two is my favorite season, as everybody knows.
Yeah, like such classics like Bot
or God Gambit, and of course others. But Masquerade is still one of because we still have not quite gotten a Combiner Wars Masquerade.
Minnesota. And we're not going to.
Yeah, well, I keep hoping eventually maybe we'll get some repaints down the road that it'll pull.
Such a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
Okay. At the same time, I understand why though. Because, like, setting aside the whole Legends Windcharger thing, you know, you would still have, like, at least two in there that'd be the same color as each other. You'd end up with Jazz off the Dead End Mold, which is even worse than Prowl off the Dead End Mold. You know, it just... It's a missed opportunity looking at it from the outside completely, but understanding what the line has to work with, I can kind of see why they didn't try to... like shoehorn that in.
Yeah, but the fact that we already got Prime and Mirage.
Yeah.
And we'd actually have Prime, Sideswipe, and Windcharger all red. But
yeah. You know, but since we are getting Grand Galvatron, anything is possible at this point, I believe.
I mean, Chikara still has to do something with Battlecore Optimus, theoretically.
It's got a Star Saber head. Or a Star Convoy head. I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's I can see them releasing that mold in a Star Convoy motif, and it'd be like,
it'll be an e-hobby set, and it'll be that in Star Convoy colors with the little Legends Rodimus.
Yeah,
because that would actually be a perfect pairing.
That needs to happen.
But then who would his limbs be though? From
anyone.
Who cares at that point?
Well, I mean, if you kept the theme Return of Convoy themed, none of characters.
It would be all repaints of Off-Road and Alpha Bravo, I'm sure.
Rook would be Grandis, and as far as I can get.
I think that's far enough, Don. So in the news this week, let's see what we got. So, Don, this is another thing to excite you. Hasbro Cinematic Universe in development. Micronauts, Visionaries, G.I. Joe, ROM, and Mask.
Yes.
And they're leaving the Transformers alone.
Well, they've already done all the damage there, so.
Well, no, they already know they can make money off that one. They're just lumping everything else together and hoping.
Here's how I'm looking at it, though. Like, they'll make the Cinematic Universe thing, and then when, like, that gets a following, which it won't. But when that gets a following, then at some point down the line, they'll cross it into Transformers.
So why isn't Battleship in there, I wonder?
Battleship's already been... It's
no, they're making a different Cinematic Universe with Battleship and Monopoly and the Ouija board.
Ah. Yeah. But the... I'm just wondering how they're going to pull this off, because if you use G.I. Joe kind of like Stargate, and you're visiting all these different worlds.
When has it ever been a motif in G.I. Joe?
Do what?
When has it ever been a G.I. Joe motif?
What?
Visiting other worlds.
Oh, no, I'm saying if they went that route, like, you know.
They don't have to, though. They could all come to Earth and just meet on Earth.
Okay, so, like, Micronauts could just be their bootleg Ant-Man. Right? So,
right,
you
right.
know, that's one thing that's already on Earth. Rom Space Knight, come to Earth. No problem there. Right. Mask, on Earth already. Like, right, there's not true. Really a need to cross the streams. You don't need to go to other worlds.
Well, that's
you can just
true.
Have you can have what needs to come to Earth, because that's very little, and everything else is just already here.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Mask and G.I. Joe in a universe together makes a lot of sense, and that's already been something that's been played with a little bit. So, like,
that exactly. You know,
and Micronauts can fit into that, too. And I don't see why Rom and Visionaries couldn't just as easily.
Right.
I still think they're missing a huge opportunity by not crossing G.I. Joe over with Transformers. It just
or Battleship.
There's so much military in the Transformers movies anyway. It just kind of makes sense.
Yeah, maybe Michael Bay, even he can't handle that much military porn.
It's probably more like Michael Bay doesn't even know how to make G.I. Joe work. That's really the question.
Hasbro
though.
Doesn't know how to make G.I. Joe work.
Well, Hasbro probably doesn't want to let Michael Bay do G.I. Joe because that's just way too many explosions he would be able to experiment with.
Well, okay, here's the problem though. Like, Michael Bay, if he was doing G.I. Joe, he'd want to make the red and blue lasers practical effects. And by the end of the shoot, everyone would be blinded. It's a lot of legal liability, a lot of, you know, health payouts for the, you know, lifetime of the.
Actually, they would change them to like green and purple just for the cinematic.
But everybody just fires them into the air anyway, so, you know, it's not like anybody's going to go blind. Maybe the guy on the camera, you know, but.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's just a camera operator. How important are they?
Yeah, they're all over the place.
Yeah,
I love how their picture studio is called AllSpark Pictures.
Yeah, I kind of like that too. But unfortunately, that means everything's going to have the AllSpark blue filter in front of it.
So I'm understanding they're going to set up another writer's room for this. I think they actually pulled Akiva Goldsman off to. Come and head this up too, because we heard about him changing teams a few weeks ago. So, I mean, it still remains to be seen what his influence will do with the Transformers movies, but if they were happy with that, maybe this will actually, like, turn this alternate cinematic universe into something decent.
Yeah. Well, it's like I told Rob Clay, I am cautiously optimistically terrified. So
I want to see a Mask movie. My fear is that a Mask movie will be the Fast and the Furious with guns on the cars.
Well, they've got to stick a little closer to the source material, otherwise you got a Mad Max clone, and oh my god, a Mad Max clone would make sense since Fury Road has done so well.
Uh-huh.
Ah, crap.
I mean, you can't go totally Mad Max with it, because, like, to have a cinematic universe with these other things, you can't be in a post-apocalyptic wasteland.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you can have some of the trappings of the cars.
But I want to see Rhino go from big rig to battle station. I want to see Switchblade switch into helicopter to jet mode. I want to see Bulldog become the half-track thing. I want to see Manta changing into a flying Z whatever.
Flying Z, whatever.
Well, I've got her vehicle right here because I mean, who doesn't have a Mask Manta close by for?
Oh, Fair Lady Z.
Yeah, I couldn't remember the car name.
But it's the same thing that Prowl and them are, Don.
Yeah, yeah, you should know that, Don.
Don's not a car guy.
Yeah, I'm not a car enthusiast. I'm not Knockout. I'm not a car enthusiast.
He's not Car Master Don, he's Headmaster Don. Or Titan Master Don, depending on the branding.
Yeah, but
oh, it's Trax.
But hey, you know, that would be an interesting repaint for Masterpiece Tracks. Paint it like Vanessa Warfield's Mantra.
Don't give them ideas, Don.
I'd buy it. Ideas. You know, paint Raul as Vanessa, and something like this. Anyway, moving along.
So, IDW decided that What If was a really great thing that happened 25 years ago, so they're going to do it again.
I'll buy it.
So IDW explores alternate timelines and deviations, the 5-week event next March, which will have one Transformers issue featuring What If Optimus Prime Didn't Die During the Movie.
I kind of like the cover for that, where you see Hot Rod doing his, you know, I've got to help Prime, and Cup does his, mm-hmm. you know, stay away, let's Prime's fight. And
then I'll stop you.
I'll stop you. It's like, yes! Because you know what he was thinking. He just couldn't get him.
Stab!
It's like, to me, it just means all three of the whole season three didn't happen, so...
Well, it still happened, but differently.
Yeah, like, I'm not a big fan.
It's What If Optimus Prime survived the movie? Everybody else still got horribly slaughtered.
Yeah, but it's like couples would go, damn, missed him!
So, what I'd really like to see in this is not be an in-universe take, but the comic book just depict a real world where Optimus Prime didn't die and kids didn't get traumatized by watching Transformers the movie.
that may explain a lot in my case, but that's sad.
Oh, come on. What 8-year-old didn't cry when they watched Optimus Prime get murdered on screen?
I was 16 at the time.
Well, what 16-year-old?
What 16-year-old didn't cry? Yeah.
Well, it's like I said in an interview a while back when they were talking about the movie. I was so still traumatized by the shuttle slaughter, Prime's death didn't kind of hit me until a little bit after he died. It's like, holy crap. Then that sort of hit me, you know, after the fact.
If they would have killed R.C., Don would have lost it.
Which would have been weird since she just debuted 5 minutes earlier. But
so
no,
I had no attachment to the character.
I'm thinking back to my first viewing of Transformers the movie, which happened in like 1992, because I was a kid of... Actually, it must have been 93, because I was a child of G2, not the original airings. And I got Transformers the movie out of the video rental store. But so I'm not sure that I really took it as the shuttle everybody died. Like, it wasn't until Optimus Prime very clearly and explicitly died on screen that I had a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and then, I remember the memories I have of that first viewing and how everything became a blur after that point, because I wasn't really paying that much attention anymore. And then I also have the memories of watching again years later and actually seeing what actually happened in the movie versus the memories I had from being 8 years old.
Yeah.
Or nine,
well, also,
I
saw it in the theaters on the big screen. So that visually gives you a lot more of an impact than seeing it on a regular television.
Now see, I didn't see it for the first time until I was actually an adult. And like, I knew what happened, but actually seeing it happen was a completely different experience.
I mean, it's just, you see I keep going back to the shuttle scene because that's your first wholesale slaughter in the Transformers mythos, mm-hmm. and you get Prowl killed by Scavenger, and then everyone else shoots. Then Brawn maybe dies because it's just a shoulder wound. But then the big thing is with like Ironhide and Megatron, he just goes boom, and it's like that's when it hits. Like Ironhide is dead. Megatron just fusion cannoned him through the floor of the shuttle. He ain't coming back, and that's when it hits you. Like, oh my god, they're dead!
And even if Braun didn't go down from the shoulder injury,
he's still on a ship full of Decepticons.
Yeah. Oh no, like, even if he just, you know, stayed down and pretended to be dead, when that shuttle crashed into the surface after the Decepticons bailed out,
that
was probably the end for him then. Because you gotta imagine that thing's not built as tough as an Ark.
Yeah. I keep drifting back to all of the Braun's not dead arguments.
Well, yeah, that's the age of fan we are.
Yeah.
So let's see. So More Than Meets the Eye is James Roberts, and Transformers vs. G.I. Joe's Tom Cioli is up for awards in the Comics Alliance Best of 2015.
Hooray!
Congratulations.
James Roberts has been nominated for Outstanding Writer and Tom Cioli for Outstanding Artist.
And I agree with both of those.
Let's see. I don't see on here on the T-Formers article when the polling is supposed to end. Let's see. A well-researched podcast, if ever there was one.
From what I understand, they're up against some pretty stiff competition, too.
Yeah, but, you know, it's an honor just to be nominated.
Oh, exactly. I mean, all these people writing all these comics, and then you have a Transformers comic coming in as a nomination. It's like, what are they writing over there?
For writing. Yeah,
yeah, it's like, what are they writing over there on a toy tie-in comic? And but then remember, ROM was a toy tie-in comic that ran for almost 80 issues. So was Transformers. Mm-hmm. So you can have good writing on a toy tie-in comic that's incredibly well done.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, even formerly Robots in Disguise, the Transformers is really well written in a different way. So, like, you know, all the writing on all of the IDW stuff is really strong, and they all make a great showing of art, too. I understand why Transformers vs. G.I. Joe's art specifically earned a nomination, just because it's very distinct and striking and different from most any other comic out there.
Yeah, let's say that.
Now, Don, I'm not a huge fan of that series either, but I mean, I can acknowledge that.
Oh no!
That
I'll
very...
give them all the props they want. It's just,
yeah. Nobody's requiring you to, like, you know, be a fan of the comic itself.
But Don, the G.I. Joe motor pool turned into Bruticus.
And what? You know, watch out for the Astro Train. It's a very interesting comic if you sit down and look at it. Okay, so we have in-hand pictures of Takara Masterpiece Road Rage.
Oh, she looks good.
It's still that Trax mold.
Yeah, it still looks good, but unfortunately we've all handled the Trax mold.
I haven't, but I'm a little put off by what I've heard.
It looks really nice, though.
Yeah, mine's still in the box, but...
Well, that's probably a better place for it from what I've heard.
Yeah.
I had some things to say about that, but the legs put me over. Oh.
Well, you did get an especially bad one, so.
But even then, it's not a peg, it's a tab with a teardrop bulb on the end. That's not something that's designed to come apart.
Like the kind of thing that is on the other side supposed to have a flexible connector to release it when you pull. But from what I understand, from
but
what
it does
you
not.
Right, it's just a solid slot.
Yes. Yes, it is.
So that seems kind of weird.
And incredibly difficult to get apart.
Yeah, that too. Yeah. No, I really like the way Road Rage looks. I've always thought that was really good looking. I like old Corvettes. I like old red Corvettes. And I have the BotCon Shattered Glass tracks from 2013, 2012, whatever year that was. That is all, you know, repurposable as Road Rage, and that is my Road Rage, and I like that a lot too. But from what I've heard of this mold, I don't want to get the Masterpiece anymore. Which is a shame too, because they did a lot of work on that to actually, like, physically distinguish it from Trax.
Yeah, yeah.
And I will still get it. I'm not sure if I'll ever transform it, but.
See, the problem, though, with leaving Road Rage in vehicle mode is she will murder you. Because that's her whole gimmick.
Yeah.
When she's in car mode, she's an out-of-control berserker. And originally, her character was designed to be the bodyguard for the Autobot Diplomat.
Gross good.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So that's, Good job, Autobots.
So we need Masterpiece Skids now so we can get a Masterpiece Crosscut for her.
Oh, I would so buy a Masterpiece Skids.
Oh, well, now you know that's an obvious given right there for the repaint. And, of course, they may even do...
You can get a bunch of repaints out of Skids.
Well, you got all the Argentine colors, too.
Plus you got
E-Hobby colors. E-Hobby colors. You can get a mud flap.
Well, E-Hobby would be Crosscut, wouldn't it?
No, I mean, like...
E-Hobby did a green one, I think?
I thought that was Skids. I thought that was Skids from the movie. Because they did a two-pack of the G1 Skids, Skids and Mudflap.
Okay, that's where it came from, then.
They did a reddish, tannish brown and a green one. It was Screech and Skids, I think, or
Skids and Screech. There's a red Skids, there's a green Skids, there's a Crosscut, regular Skids. You could get all sorts of colors.
Anyway, Crosscut would probably end up being just regular release, because like if Exhaust was a regular release,
yeah,
of all things.
Now,
Crosscut wouldn't cause big legal hassles.
Yeah. Now, in the comic, didn't Crosscut like use a shovel in a battle or something?
Yeah, that's part of his backstory. It was not something that was shown, but it's something that is referred to a few times.
So I guess instead of having the little scooter that his G1 self came with, he comes with a shovel. That transforms into a scooter.
You know, you joke, but I'd be interested to see a scooter transforming into a shovel to be used as a weapon. Sounds interesting. Also repurposable for Dino Charge toys.
I was trying to figure out how to work that in, but you beat me to it.
Yes, well, I'm the host of a Toku podcast, which is now on hiatus, but I'm the host of a Toku podcast. This is my job.
That makes me sad.
But yeah, well, we'll be back.
There's still plenty of awesome Toku shows out in Devrapod.
Wrong show, Don.
Maybe in February. We can hope.
So we have a test shot picture of Leader Class Blaster from Titan's Return, which is interesting because it shows that a lot of that toy looks to be just one plastic runner, one big, big plastic runner, because look at all that one color.
Yeah. Yep.
It's interesting, though, because the helmet piece for Blaster is clear, so you can actually see just how small the Titan Master head is on there versus the volume that the helmet adds. That's really one of the advantages of seeing test shot stuff. Like, you can see sometimes how the mold breaks down in terms of number of plastic colors. Of course, in this case, it could well be that just that beige plastic was put on two or three different trees because they had a lot of it there. Although I'm pretty sure test shots go for as many different colors as possible so they can tell what's from what. But you can also sometimes just get different insights into the design because you'll often get clear parts in weird places like this. So I kind of like this combination yellow Titan Master and clear helmet, though. It makes a really interesting effect I'd like to see actually done on a production toy.
Yeah, the right one would look amazing.
It's like, you ever see those cheap kits at the toy store, like the visible skull? It kind of has that impression to me, too. Like, we're looking at Blaster's brain, basically.
They should do it for Brainstorm. Well, if they did another Brainstorm, that would be a cool one to do it on.
But yeah, that's kind of cool. I mean, we don't see a lot of test shot pictures anymore, so it's always kind of a novelty when one turns up again. And of course, this came from Diecast's favorite place now, Taobao.
I keep wanting to call it Taibo, and that's not...
Isn't that what Diecast was calling it the last couple weeks?
Yeah, that may be it, because Taibo...
Tobo.
Taibo is like the guy that does the exercise program guy.
No, Taibo is the exercise program.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got SKUs in the Toys R Us computer systems in Canada for Combiner Wars box sets, Menasor, Superion, and Victorion. And also a mysterious Platinum Series Planet of Junk set, which we have absolutely no idea what that is.
What could that be?
And I hope it stays that way. I hope up until its release, it's a complete surprise. It'd be nice to have something that's a total surprise when it comes out.
I hope this is not like just the Generations Deluxe Rekgar, like redone in like a 3 or 4 pack.
I think that's what it's going to be. I think it'll be a 3 pack one of each head sculpt.
Well, it,
with a slightly new deco.
Maybe it's an Encore reissue since we did get Astrotrain and Blitzwing.
That'd be really weird.
Yeah. It's not a very good toy.
Like, Hasbro went to the trouble of refurbishing Trypticon, but it's Trypticon. Mm-hmm. Takara has not done a reissue of Rekgar, and I'm not sure that's something Hasbro would pursue independently. I'm also not convinced it's going to be just a three-pack of the Generations Junkion mold. I think it may end up being a little more complex than that.
I'd like to see something a little more complex than that.
I almost wonder if it wouldn't be a Hasbro version of the Legends Springer, which was with the more cartoon deco. Just done a little bit differently than the Takara one, and maybe that with a Junkion and maybe one other toy.
Okay, this is kind of just out of left field, but...
Or maybe a bisected Ultra Magnus?
Well, a quartered
that
Ultra
they can
Magnus.
Put back, yeah, okay, that they can put back together, yeah.
Oh, they'll make some new ConstructBots parts to make an Ultra Magnus that you can pull apart and put back together. And
hey,
that'll be
there you go.
Feature in there. Everybody loves ConstructBots.
Or Hero Smashers. The Transformer set that had the dioramic arc. Sorry, I'm kind of stuffed up here.
The SDCC Dinobot set?
Right. Could that arc be just as it is recolored into like a Planet Junk spaceship?
No.
I'm thinking if it's a Platinum set and they want it like a diorama, could they use that, that? Is like a Junkion colored headquarters crashed spaceship kind of thing.
Okay, so like, in theory, they could take all the same dies to cut those sheets out and put them together with different details printed on them. I think the labor and alternate production involved in making that happen would drive the cost up too much.
Because if the set's $109, I'm just thinking...
Canadian, though. $109 Canadian.
Well, true. But I'm just thinking, what could be in the set to make it that much if it's not a play set or a diorama to go around the characters?
Okay, so, for context, $109 Canadian would work out to somewhere around 80 US with the exchange rate as it is right now, because Canada's dollar is in the toilet. Other things in Platinum we've gotten for $80 include the G1 Insecticons. So,
I see the
value proposition on the Platinum set is really hard to peg down.
How much did that Platinum Dinobots set cost?
Over 100, I know.
I've seen it as low as the ones with the G1 repaint.
G1 heads.
Yeah. I've seen that as low as $130.
U.S. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was not a cheap set. There was a lot of plastic in there. That was a lot of stuff in that, and I think that only did come out through Toys R Us.
Yeah, so this is going to be an $80 set, so we know it's not going to be anything that big. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. No, that's, two, maybe three figures, depending what the figures are. Someone had this theory that maybe they would take the Masterpiece exosuit from Bumblebee and stick that in there, too.
Hmm.
Which I think would actually be really fun and would probably... Oh, I know, the breakout battle set from the movie, does anybody remember how much that cost when it eventually came out? Because I think that was in the same price range that we're
75.
Looking. Yeah, so we're probably looking at something like that, a Voyager and two Deluxes.
Heck, it could be, if they include the Daniel, it could be RC, Daniel, the repainted Springer, and the Generations Rekgar.
And a pile of Ultra Magnus.
You are really all about this pile of Ultra Magnus, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Okay, well, Hasbro's going to buy up all the Citizen stacks that are left at discount. And put
them do that. People would be cutting and stabbing themselves on all those corners. It'd be a legal nightmare, Don. So we have Combiner Wars G2 Superion has actually come in stock at Canadian Walmart on the website. And that's running, I think, 150 Canadian. So if we get a direct analog of that price, that's going to be like 120-ish when it comes out here. But at the same time, we also have an extensive in-hand photo gallery of G2 Superion from Blacklie at TFND, who has provided a lot of photos of this kind of stuff in the past.
I love that box. Oh, I just love
it. I wish it was like the Fall of Cybertron G2 Verticus box, but yes, it is still a nice package.
If I can't have the G2 Verticus, this is not a bad consolation prize.
Right. Yeah,
I really hope we get that here soon. Like, how long do you think it'll take to get here if it's in Canada now?
Okay, I have nothing to confirm this information, but it has been hinted to me that this may start going up for order around New Year's.
Ah.
In the U.S. Again, there is nothing to confirm that. That is the implication that has been made to me a couple months ago of when to expect. Thing is, though, Superion's not even the one that I care about getting. I'm waiting for Menasor. Because, like, don't get me wrong, I appreciate that G2 Superion exists. I appreciate there's a G2 Slingshot, or Quickslinger now, that probably is not going to disintegrate into dust. Don, what the hell?
What is that?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Great. Well, try not to do it again, Don.
Oh, yeah, I sit here all the time and just buzz for no reason.
Sounds like a tugboat. Are you by an ocean?
I buy an ocean of cars.
So anyway, Superion's nice and all. I'm probably not going to go for one myself, but when Menasor comes out, sign me up.
Well, hopefully they'll go on Amazon and we can get them at tfradio.net/Amazon.
It's
and,
not backslash diecast.
I know.
Just slash.
Just have diecast. It. Just have it.
Anyway, you're too early for the Amazon plug, so hold that thought.
But I'm just thinking, like, because I never thought I could get Trypticon as cheap as I did. So to get Trypticon
and now it's cheaper.
Price, yeah, maybe we'll get, these sets down the line at a cheaper price. So you may be able to pick up a Superion set for who knows. Let's just throw $80 out there. And I think that'd be an easy, yes, too.
I'm kind of hoping if/when these start going up on Amazon, the base price is just a little bit lower than everybody else anyway, because it's Amazon and they do kind of do that on some stuff.
Yeah.
But before we get into the heavy Amazon plugging, we have a webcomic that posted on the Takara Tomy Mall page for Grand Galvatron, which basically just tries to explain the backstory a little bit.
I love the film on this.
Yeah. How well does that happen? How well does that turn out?
Well, this does set up that the whole thing takes place in Japanese G1 continuity, and it's 10 years after Headmasters. So it does at least place it in context somewhere.
And Unicron gives Ghost Starscream a new ghost body.
He gives him, like, a half body just so he can't go run off and betray everybody again. That's basically the gist of that.
I just love that one photo or, drawing in the corner where Cyclonus has Galvatron's head out of his stomach.
Sticking out of his chest.
And I realized, like, we might be able to do that. With
you can do that.
You can.
Which is awesome.
You haven't done that yet?
I don't have Cyclonus handy, but give me a second here.
You have the scattershot disappointment?
Uh-huh. Look how sad he is.
Oh, Scattershot stole Superion's head and put it in his...
Scattershot's been possessed by Superion! No, but, it's only 4 pages, so it can't go into, great detail, but, it's a little bit, and... So somebody basically gave a Cliff's Notes version of this, and Galvatron possesses Cyclonus. Cyclonus is still in control of himself, but he has Galvatron's head in his torso now, which is basically yelling orders at him all the time. And so the initial plan is to go to Unicron's wreckage, which the art there represents something from Beast Wars Neo, where Unicron's remains were sealed away. because everything Japanese Transformers has callbacks to everything else Japanese Transformers. So the original plan was to go and make Galvatron a new body from that. But instead, Unicron woke up and said, hey, maybe not take me apart. Have these guys instead. And that's basically the story. But yeah, it's just, it's a fun little thing. I like the Sakamoto art in this. I really like his art style. So it's a fun little read. You can go check out the pages mirrored at T-Formers. And then in one last bit of not at all news, Mark Wahlberg confirmed in a video interview that yes, he will be returning for Transformers 5. Yes, I'm pretty much with Matt on this one.
Yeah, as a scientist and an inventor.
I like Mark Wahlberg, but he didn't need to be in the Transformers movie.
I will give him this. He was at least a better human character than Sam Witwicky.
Yeah, I don't know that that's saying too much.
Oh, it's maybe not saying too much, but at least, like, I didn't cringe at every single appearance of him on screen, just about half of them.
Yeah.
So, still a better track record. Now, if you would like to start plugging Amazon, this is the time.
Oh, Platinum Trypticon. I can't believe we can get it for this price. This is amazing.
Yeah, about $100. That's, it's kind of like when Platinum Predaking hit, and you could get a brand new, you know, fresh off the line Predaking for about $100.
Yeah.
Like, we just took it as rote all these years. You want a Predaking? You're paying hundreds of dollars. And now suddenly you can just go and buy one anytime you want. And Trypticon is doing just the same thing now.
I kind of feel bad for, like, you know, other Transformer sites, e-tailers, because they're selling them for like $180. They're going to be stuck with Trypticons for a long time, probably.
Well, remember, Amazon's Trypticons will eventually run out. And even at $170, $180, the Platinum Trypticons are a really good deal.
It's
completely fresh. You don't have to go through the problem of piecing together a vintage one, which can take a lot of effort and expense. So,
yeah, I don't think as many people are piecing together G1, you know, toys as there used to be.
No, probably not, because, like, a lot of the people who are interested in doing that have done so already.
Yeah, have done so or they're already, you know, they're just jumping into third party. So, and but, Hasbro stuff that they're releasing is so, you know, so reminiscent of G1 anyway, that fills a need inside collectors a lot too.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's like a whole other discussion to have, but it does feel like the classic stuff is kind of supplanting like the common interest in going back and collecting vintage G1. There's definitely still a market for that, but it's not the same kind of one as before.
Yeah.
We also have a note here that Masterpiece Trax is also available on Amazon for just under $60.
Which is really good from a U.S. site to get that. I mean, you know, again, the e-tailers are selling it for $79.99, so...
And if you're shopping for a Transformers fan, that's not a bad gift.
No.
Just put a note on there telling them not to try to transform it.
I mean, yeah. Mine's a good copy. It doesn't have
You can go to flying
like
car
mats.
Mode. You're fine going there. And it's, just don't go past it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm happy with Trax, but I see where it could have been better.
Mm.
So
the legs.
And my legs aren't that bad, actually. What didn't you like about the legs?
The way they tab together.
Mine tab just
refused
fine.
To come apart.
I haven't tried to transform him back into car mode. So
okay, well, how was it when you untransformed it the first time?
He a little tight, but I don't know if that was just a one-time thing or.
I guess the other possibility we're not considering here, Matt, is that diecast could just be ham hands and not even realize, you know, how hard he tore that apart.
He was a little tight.
But yes, if you'd like to get these or other fine products, go to tfradio.net/Amazon, and a little bit of the money you spend will come back to us, and you won't pay a cent more. And it basically keeps the podcast going at this point and pays for things like my beautiful new headset, which Kilby will be paying for years.
And also, this time of year, Amazon is running just...
Oh, yeah, lightning deal after lightning deal.
Yeah, so it's just, you never know what you're going to get. A while ago, I ordered... the lightning deal's already stopped for now, but I got Leader Class Thundercracker for $21 and a Kamen Rider Gaim figure for $25. And a lot of the Legends class figures are on sale as well. So just hit Transformers and look through it. There's a lot of hidden things in there.
Yeah, there's really great prices on this year's Legends figures, and most all of them are like really solid molds and definitely worth picking up, especially for like $6 and $7 each. I mean, that's if you skipped out on any of the molds from this year's batch, you really should go consider picking some of them up while they're on sale.
Yeah, most of the Legends are under $5 right now.
Oh, really? Okay, they've gone down since the last time I looked at them. So yeah, I mean, you know, tfradio.net/Amazon, just check it periodically for lightning deals, and even the sale prices go down unexpectedly as we're learning live on the air.
We'll look at Trypticon.
If you have bought a Trypticon recently and the price has gone down, you can email Amazon customer service within a reasonable time frame and they will adjust the price for you. So, you know, if you paid $130, $140, and then now it's down to, like, close to $100, you should be able to get that adjusted for you.
And Platinum Edition Predaking is still $97.90.
That's basically the normal price they keep it
at. If you didn't get that and you want to pick it up, that's a great G1 combiner to pick up.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's jump to third-party news because we're running a little bit long. So we have an in-hand look at Jinbao Into the Sky, upsized Feral Rex. Because, as someone commented, as if Feral Rex wasn't big enough already.
Yes. Well, now, hey, John, you've got Feral Rex, right?
Paging John DeLuna.
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah. So from your expert experience, because you're John DeLuna, you're an expert in everything... Does he really need to be any bigger?
No. I'm one of those people that's dead set against like whatever quote unquote masterpiece scale combiners are. They're just too big. Just too big. You know, unwieldy. So I think Feral Rex is I don't have a tape measure. I'm looking at him, I don't have a tape measure. He's like 14 inches tall, something like that. And he feels nearly as wide, so he's just massive. And he weighs, like, an incredible amount. So, no. I mean, he's fine. Frankly, he kind of is maybe just a smidge smaller than whatever masterpiece scale Predaking would be. He's not, like, ridiculously undersized if you put him on a masterpiece shelf. And he looks, obviously, just fine with classic stuff, so.
Aren't the individual
figures... He's kind of, like, right on the edge.
Aren't the individual figures basically like Voyager size or Voyager mass at least?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Mass-wise, easily. Yeah,
they would be on par basically with where Masterpiece is at these days.
Yeah, so... No. I don't know. There's just a limit.
Oh, my gosh.
I personally find Deluxe... And whatever Mega was back in the day, like those are my favorite scales when they're done right.
Yeah.
Well, I just jumped to a random point in the video, and at this point, it's showing off the Headstrong analogy. It's taller than the Black Knight Optimus Prime that came out in Japan from the Leader Class mold. And it's about half again taller than Invasion Mode Optimus.
Okay, so basically, that Headstrong would have to be about 12 inches tall.
Yeah, so you're looking at an American Leader Class for one of the figures, and that's just comparing Headstrong's head to Optimus Prime's head. He's actually taller if you count the Rhino head on the back sticking up. But head to head, robot head to robot head, they're just about the same.
Oh, that's insane.
Yeah, so you're looking at basically an American leader class, roughly, for each figure, probably.
Why would you even do that?
I don't know. It's weird. I mean, there's a market for that stuff.
I know, but like the Feral Rex itself would collapse under its own weight and form a black hole.
Yes. Yes, he does weigh a ton. I do. Your comparisons, Don, remind me of my favorite pet peeve is when people use objects or toys that almost no one has as references for scale when you could just get a ruler.
My favorite thing is when people decide to use a common object like a soda can, but instead of a regular soda can, they get one of those 8-ounce soda cans, which nobody really buys.
Yeah.
Well, yes.
So it's still useless.
I will say this. I don't know what the price is on this, but if it comes out in that black and purple Nero Rex colors and it's significantly cheaper than the Nero Rex colors, maybe.
What is with you in that color scheme?
I don't know. Something about that color scheme just makes me all funky wonky.
John, remember when everything Takara made had a black version?
Do I?
I think Don is just trapped in that period of time.
It's called what? 2000 through 2011? Five? Something like that.
I remember my childhood.
Pretty long.
It seemed like the most prevalent.
2005.
Yeah, it seemed like the most prevalent during the Encore days.
But you have to admit, if you want something that's visually striking, that is a very striking color scheme. And I can imagine Predaking adapting his colors on like a planet with no sun to be a better hunter, or you know,
I don't want to go all astrophysics on you, but without a sun, a planet would just be like hurtling aimlessly through the galaxy.
I mean, like a planet that's like shrouded in night, and he would adapt a more nighttime camouflage for his hunting.
So anyway, we have in-hand pictures of Mastermind Creations Anarchus, which is the Kaon figure, which is the electric chair Scorpion.
He's a big figure.
And operating table, apparently.
Yeah.
Which I said in pre-show, creepy as hell.
Yeah, there was a picture I didn't copy which had the figure in the exam table mode with Figure Arts Kamen Rider Black strapped to it. Because the scorpion legs actually are positioned pretty well to be used as like limb clamps. So you could have figures literally tied down to the table that way.
Nice.
It's a nice looking figure. Like, this is something I would like to at some point in the future be able to come back around and pick up, because there's some good looking stuff in here. I'm not completely sold on their Tarn from the design stuff we've seen. Like, the design feels a little too small, but Kaon definitely looks good, and Synicus, which one is that? Voss. That one's a little bit more certainly purpose-oriented, but it also still looks pretty good.
Yeah, I actually really like Voss.
I do, too. He gains a lot more, legitimacy as this group is completed.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, not knowing anything about these characters, I find that it's amazing with him being the table and the scorpion and the chair that he compresses so well into robot mode that you don't have all that crap hanging off of him.
Yeah, Mastermind's engineering is amazing.
Yeah. I mean it's just amazing that he expands so much. But he's not a kibble master.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean,
this is why I like MMC, because we're getting stuff from them that we're never gonna get like first party. So that I can dig.
And think about Spartan too. Like, you get the tank mode, and all of that compresses in together, and you get a robot mode that doesn't really have characteristics of its alternate mode, except for the gun on the shoulder. Mm-hmm. You know, they've got a really solid team of engineers getting this stuff to work.
Yeah, speaking of black repaints, there's one.
Yeah, what is that? Commodus, right?
I think he was designed as Commodus first. I believe Spartan was the repaint.
Yeah. But people cared more about that, so they brought it out first.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, so if you want a turmoil for some reason, that's also a thing that's coming.
Yeah, it's out. I mean, shipping, so.
Yeah, but, yeah, I mean, it's just, it's black.
Merry Christmas. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
So finally, in third-party news, we have color pictures now of TFC Toys' Minos and Thanatos, which is their Hellbat and Killbison from Leo Kaiser.
It's a shame it's TFC Toys.
Thing is, though, these look pretty nice.
No, see, I saw them at TFCon. I saw the prototypes, and it looks like TFC. It doesn't look like they learned a thing.
Damn.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because the pictures kind of tell a slightly different...
Dawn, you saw
the pictures
too.
Give you hope.
Dawn, you saw them too. What are your thoughts?
The problem is, when it comes to Leo Kaiser, the character, me wanting another version of the character that I don't feel like I'm going to, you know, totally destroy when I touch it, and something I can put on the shelf and actually mess with from time to time, overrides my, oh, it's TFC.
Okay, but my question is, does it look like an improvement over their past projects?
No, this looks like TFC to me.
Yeah, the aesthetic is still straight TFC. It's, but...
That's from the three people who have seen it in person.
Yeah,
we'll go with Don's summary just now. It's butt.
It's TF. Every aesthetic screams TFC, but it being Leo Kaiser, I may be willing to still try at least the first two.
I would really, really like when the samples go out to the reviewers for early opinions to actually start hearing some good things about this because. Like John says, the pictures offer some hope, and I'd like that to come true because somebody needs to do a combiner that's not the Constructicons.
Yes. And to make it clear, I really, really hope I'm wrong about this, and these are excellent.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Because it's sort of like with Carnifex coming out, you are not going to be able to buy a good Leo Kaiser for what this is going to run you. And that's kind of sad that you're buying a third-party masterpiece-level-ish combiner with six parts for about, let's say, $600, and that's still cheaper than the G1 version because of the rarity of the figure. So it's still your best bet at $600.
And unfortunately, since TFC is the only one doing it, it's still your best bet if you want a modernized one.
Yeah.
And afraid of your Kill Bison crumbling into dust.
Well, that too. Oh, the 80s and the 90s.
Well, no,
and a little bit of the
2000s. There is the possibility they could make a Death Cobra too, and then this will cost $700.
Okay, I think that'd be more if it was Mastermind doing it, because like they also did the extra member for Feral Rex, which was based on Catilla, but they still did the extra member you could combine on.
Well, TFC likes to do add-ons, so, you know.
Well, yeah, but their add-ons are like, here's the face and accessories it should have had in the first place.
Exactly.
Yeah. Not really, you know, here's another dude.
Exactly. So, here's the other figure you should have in the first place.
Yeah. Or Death Cobra could be a TFCon
release. And then you get the add-on kit.
You know, I can see them releasing Death Cobra as a TFCon exclusive.
In Toronto only.
Actually, yeah, okay. Yeah. That's a good point. I could see that, yeah.
Yeah, because if you want just a interesting character with a good design, you don't have to have the rest of Leo Kaiser, because Death Cobra was kind of his own thing. So he would look fine on the shelf just as another Decepticon. So I can see them getting away with that.
All I can say is, while Don struggles with the latest TFC toys, I'm just going to be sitting over here with my big black Turmoil, happy as a crab. And I'll be perfectly fine with my giant black, big black, massively black, manly black Turmoil. Not Turmoil.
Did you get the other Impactor?
The other one?
Spartan? The club?
Spartan. No, Spartan.
Yeah. I've got Spartan. He's really good.
Isn't it pretty... It's the same thing, pretty much.
Yeah, it's the same thing. He's like 90-95% the same.
You just wanted a big black one?
You know it.
Okay. Just wanted to
clarify. So also on the network this week!
I thought I did clarify that.
Matt, save us, please.
It's so clear.
No, now that's on the next one. Ridiculous. So we have the RFC minicast where John, Don, and Brian rethink the Transformers mythos, which is not a frightening proposition at all.
It was awesome. It's fun. And you get a fleshed out opinion from Don on the big 80s multiverse thing.
Okay. Yes. So being awesome with Rob Springer this week, Grand Galvatron up and punched somebody with a ghost. Godzilla resurges, and Q&A this week asks the eternal question, who dat? I watched this episode. It was actually pretty good, except for Rob Springer, as, you know, any typical American not knowing how to pronounce Showa or Heisei when talking about Godzilla. But apart from that,
it was slightly unnerving, yes.
It's Showa time.
And then, of course, Superhero Time has 3 podcasts out this week. Superhero Time episode 260, which unfortunately indicates us going on hiatus because Dino Charge is now over. We titled this episode iCube, and if you want to know what that means, you have to watch the show or listen to the show. Superhero Time 10
minutes of it anyway.
Shh. So Superhero Time presents that one episode of Star Trek was The Devil in the Dark from the original series. And the secret phrase this week is shambling.
What happened to Voyager?
They wanted to watch something.
We've been
good.
Asking that for years, Matt. What happened to Voyager? And as revealed earlier in this show, the Superhero Time After Show, among other things, talks about fixing Scattershot's deco. And back on that subject, I really think a good set of Reaper labels could do a lot for Scattershot's torso mode. Because they could put flat panel stickers on the shoulders to make the color right. It wouldn't necessarily fix the head. You'd need a lot of sticker to recolor the head entirely. But could start to get that better just with some sticker overlay.
Well, now, if I'm not mistaken, they're not repo labels anymore.
No, they're the website, and I guess the company
the
is
called Toy Hacks.
The website
changed the name, Toy Hacks, but they're still repo labels.
Okay, yeah. All right. I ran across that when I was looking at that Thunderclash set for Battlecore Optimus, and I thought, wait a minute, this is repo labels, but the website said,
because
Toy
Hacks. Because they're also producing some other similar kind of materials that are not labels, so I think they're trying to just broaden their brand a little bit. Plus, Toy Hacks.
Can I ask real quick for some bonus content?
What up, John?
From you.
Me?
I want a 10 to 15 second summary / review of the Star Trek trailer.
Why?
XV, go. Well, that one's good. That was about a 2 second review, Don. XV, go.
Okay, my review is a quote of the last line of the trailer. We should never do that again.
Okay. Check. Noted. Let the record show.
I didn't even know there was a new Star Trek trailer.
Neither did I. It came out on Monday, I think, actually.
Yes.
Just in time for us to record a Star Trek podcast.
Yeah. Just in time for everyone to forget because Star Wars is coming out like several days later. What are they thinking?
Okay, and the point I made when we talked about this briefly on the podcast was they really should have waited until after Star Wars came out because then you would not have the full force of the internet looking at this trailer and calling it for the crap it is.
Aha, and again, the pun you just made. The full force
the
of
full
the trailer.
Force.
Damn! I couldn't
you
have
done
that
it
I,
again.
I could not have done that if I tried.
Now, let me be clear. I liked the first Star Trek movie. For a reboot, I like what
they
were trying
to attend. The first one's fine.
The second one, I have not seen the second one. I have not seen the second one fully.
You're fine. You're fine.
No, like, we were talking about this in pre-show. It's like the Transformers movies. The first one is perfectly okay by itself. Now, unlike the Transformers movies, the second one probably is not going to... Well, I guess it could, actually. It probably does work the same way. The second will make you appreciate the first even more.
Yeah, but this third one is just like...
It's from the director of The Fast and the Furious. I think that pretty much says everything.
Oh, it's just, God. It doesn't even look like Star Trek. It's Star Trek characters on, like, Survivor or...
Yeah, it's Star Trek trappings on what is otherwise an unrelated plot.
I have to watch this after the show.
Which I think probably also applied somewhat to Into Darkness, but I also didn't watch that.
Kilby's going to kill us because the length of the show.
Well, you know what?
Come at me, bro.
If he wanted a shorter show, he should have been here.
Yeah.
That's my philosophy every week.
This is chock full of content So that when people
This is XV style RFC where we talk to a natural length about the topics that interest us.
Yes.
And also Mark Wahlberg coming back to Transformers. So, Matt, tell us what's on T-Formers this week.
Okay, on T-Formers this week, there T-Formers reviews Transformers Robots in Disguise, animated, number 5 out of 6. Mm-hmm. Several video reviews of the new Legends Class Wave. You've got video reviews of Legends Class Shockwave, Legends Class Buzzsaw, and Chop Shop. And also a quick preview of Unite Warriors Defensor.
And a full review will probably come early next week because that's probably how the schedule is going to work out. The production schedule more than anything. I've been busy. Rob did the comic review, but I've been putting up a lot of video content myself this week. So yeah, guys, do you have anything else? Also, Kilby has given his stamp of approval to the show, so long as he doesn't have to edit a bunch of shit out, which he'll probably have to edit that out. So, ooh. You're welcome, Kilby.
All I'm going to say is, everybody, this next week or so, if you're a collector and you're out and about, and you're looking for stuff yourself, or you're looking for gifts, and you see these parents and these grandparents struggling for toys that they have no idea what they're looking for, help them out. Make sure these kids get the right toys, so that way you've got future collectors getting started off with the right toys. And it's good karma. I mean, you know, you're making the job easier for the parents and the grandparents because they don't know this stuff. This is the one time a year we can be awesome-er. So, you know, just if you see someone struggling, help them out.
Don't let some poor kid open up a GoBot on Christmas morning.
Yeah,
how old are they? 13? Here's a rescue bot. They'll love it. It's nuts.
I'm being serious because it's just I see so many people struggling. These parents and grandparents who don't know what they're looking for.
All right, I'm going to hang out at the Walmart and help some people get some toys.
I'm just saying a little good karma couldn't hurt anybody, and it's the Christmas spirit.
Brian Kilby recommends buying Ninja Turtles to all the grandparents out there.
You could do worse. You could do worse.
Yeah, that's true. I mean,
yeah. Kids like them Ninja Turtles.
They do. Ninja Turtles is like the most successful line right now.
Oh, Star Wars.
Star Wars, well, you know, I mean, it's going to have its big surge up over the next couple months, and then it's going to be, you know, back down to, you know, just barely over flat line again.
All right. I like that graph.
It's a very sharp bell curve, but, you know. No, but I think Don makes a good point. Like, there's a lot of parents and grandparents that don't have any experience with this stuff who basically just get a name and a vague directive. And sometimes they need help. I've had, on more than one occasion, I've been approached because people see me looking around the Transformers and, I get asked, do you know about this stuff? Can you help me find, you know, this or that thing? So, I mean, that it is a phenomenon that happens, especially around this time of year. So if you have the opportunity to help out, you know, take an extra minute out of your day and make sure some kid gets the toy they actually want for their holiday. So I think that'll do it for this week. Thanks to all of you for watching, and as always, for using the Amazon link that keeps us going. And thanks to all of you guys for being here, and thanks to Kilby for being sick so I got the chance to talk a whole lot. We'll see you next time.
And have a two-hour show.
Yeah. Happy day!
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at tfradio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required. If you know what's good for you.
geez, when are these guys ever going to move out of their parents' basements?